Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
If you work for AIB or you're a Bank of Ireland staff member, I want to know how you feel about the return to the office, the updated hybrid working arrangements, because Bank of Ireland want their staff back in the office 8 days per month from September. So you could maybe do the 8 consecutive days. Perhaps you might just come in 2 days a week. And AIB want staff in 3 days per week from January. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. John O'Connell is on the line. John's the head of the Financial Services Union. John, why are you unhappy about these hybrid arrangements?
I think there's a number of reasons why we're unhappy, Andrea, and thank you for having me on the show. The main one in the case of Bank of Ireland is the suddenness. They're giving people now 3 weeks on which they want to up all the arrangements that have been in place for 5 years in terms of how people worked, the flexibility that they had. The evidence is there that the banks are highly performing. They have huge billions of profits. So there's no question that it worked for the bank. And now the bank are turning it on its head and saying, no, the ways of working in Bank of Ireland that we introduced, we now want to turn that on its head, and we want you back in the office for a number of days a week. And it's back in your head office. So it's wherever your base is where they require you. And that, you know, can include substantial travel and commute for people that had believed they'd left that behind because they believed when the ways of working agreement was launched by the bank that was the way of the future. And well, that's in fact what they were told.
It was launched on because of an emergency pandemic. Should the country shut down?
Yeah,
why the arrangements changed.
Yeah, that was the initial piece from it. And obviously in the initial piece of the pandemic, we all thought in terms of, well, when do we go back to normal? And then the ways of working and so forth became the new more normal globally, not just in Ireland, not just in the banks. And all we're saying, Andre, is that if there's to change the arrangements that people have, that people work very successfully for the bank, they need to talk to us and work those things through. And you can't issue a diktat and say, in 3 weeks' time, we're turning your working life on its head and expecting you to adhere to this.
Well I'm looking here, John. Now, I know you're talking about Bank of Ireland. What I have in my hand here was an email that was sent to staff at AIB recently. And a listener got in touch with us to talk about this. And the listener sent me in the AIB email. So I haven't seen the Bank of Ireland one sent to workers, but I have seen the AIB email. And as I said, I'm holding it in my hand. And we've reached out to both Bank of Ireland and AIB actually in relation to this. And what AIB say is that, you know, firstly, we'd like to reassure you that AIB remains committed to enabling hybrid working wherever feasible, taking the opportunity to update our current hybrid work practices, which have been in place and unchanged since the pandemic. And then they go on to talk about the 3 days, etc., and this coming in from January. So they are facilitating hybrid arrangements.
They are, but they're also changing them extensively. And if you take AIB as the example, I have in my hand, Andrea, a newspaper cutting from 2021 where the bank launched their permanent hybrid policy, right? So permanent gave people the indication that this is the way it's going to be going
forward. And it
forward.
Says permanent,
and
does
what
it?
The bank did, and what the bank did was they allowed people relocate and take out mortgages in rural areas so that they could live remotely because that's the way the work pattern and the hybrid working worked for them. Now what they're saying to those people, some of those people who are in West Cork, by the way, are saying to those people, your headquarters is Molesworth Street in Dublin and you have to be there 3 days a week. And that isn't a reasonable change from a situation where that person in West Cork could have gone into a branch in Clonakilty, worked upstairs, fully present and so forth, but able to work a hybrid situation that worked for the customers, worked for the bank and worked for the individual.
The Bank of Ireland have also gone on to say that staff will be able to work out of particular hub locations. They have a variety of, I think it's 14, a network of 14 hubs across various different parts of the country, John, that staff will be able to, you know, to go in and facilitate working out of there. Like if you're living in County Sligo, there'll be a hub in Sligo, for instance. You can work out of that.
Yeah. And we welcome that, right? But they also currently have an arrangement where they can work out of branches because there's plenty of accommodation in branches and they can work out of branches. And these are the kind of things that we want to talk to them about and resolve for staff. because, as I said, again, Bank of Ireland, another bank that's highly profitable, but is, again, made a virtue of the fact of we're a very modern employer. This is how our hybrid works. This works for you, works for the customer, works for the bank. But now we're changing that completely. And we're doing it on the 1st of September, when you're expected to get the kids back to school, the end of the summer, all the stresses and strains that we all have to face up to. They're saying to their employees, no, we don't care about that. You turn up. So that's not how we operate. And there's better ways of doing it.
Is really the issue here is the gripe over the timeline of this. Like AIB have sort of, I mean, AIB are giving them staff notice. This isn't coming until the 1st of January. It's not coming until January for AIB. Yeah, the 1st of January 2026, it kicks in for AIB staff. So, I mean, you've the guts of whatever,
yeah, so
six months
in AIB, it gives us the opportunity under our agreements to sit down with AIB and negotiate what's sensible, what works for the bank, but also what works for the staff. In Bank of Ireland, the timelines are against that because they've taken this kind of approach of we'll put a deadline on it, a totally unrealistic deadline, in my opinion, and we're going to force people then into that situation.
But they've also said we have the hubs. Like Bank of Ireland have the hubs, the network of hubs across the country that staff can go into. So you don't have to come in to work on the branch in Grafton Street in Dublin.
No, you don't have to come into the headquarters. There are nuances within it, but the hubs are very East Coast centric. And I know you gave the example of Sligo, but they're very East Coast centric. So a lot of people who worked hybrid have done so on the basis of moving to rural areas where housing is cheaper and available. And the banks have supported that with mortgages and so forth. And they're now saying to the people, we don't care. You have to turn up here.
Let me bring in Tracy Keogh, John, for a few moments. 087 1400 106 is the number. As I said, we want to hear from AIB and Bank of Ireland staff about this. Tracy's the co-founder and chair of Grow Remote. I mean, is it fair what Bank of Ireland and AIB are asking staff to do, Tracy?
So hello, Andrea. Thanks a million for having us. And really interesting to hear that perspective from the unions there as well. So as you said, I'm chairman of Grow Remote, and we started in 2018 as a way to solve the problems of remote work, because it's not a silver bullet for anything, and it's not inherently good or bad. It's a nuanced thing, and each company and how they implement it, I mean, that's going to lead to different outcomes. So as I was saying to a researcher earlier on, I mean, we've been reacting to pieces like this for years now, and we'd like to think of kind of what's the solution to it. A trend that we noticed, particularly in the financial sector over the last while, is we run training programs nationwide. And previously, employers would have been coming to us looking to embed the training programs. And as time went on, it's a good chunk of that, of people who are looking for training, is individual managers, because they're trying to get up skills themselves and make the case for that internally. But if the organization doesn't want to embed, you know, hybrid or remote first, it's simply not going to work. But it does work for, you know, there's 100,000 remote jobs available on the market. It does work for many companies. But just, if I was to be really honest, I would say, what's the point in, you know, trying to force them into something that they clearly don't want to do?
But what about the benefit of the in-person time with your team, your manager, your leader? What's wrong with having the benefit of that? I as the employee here in News Talk, you know, I mean, if I wanted to relocate to Donegal in the morning, I'd make the argument, there's no difference. But management might see a different side of me in the office. That's why they might want me back.
Yeah, look, management might, but also staff might. I mean, I remember years ago, about 2021 or 22, we were talking to a CEO who was like, yeah, let's bring in remote. Like, let's go. He was really forward thinking. And he went to the staff and the staff didn't want it. So that's what I mean by it's not always clear cut. And in some instances, so people want more in-office interactions and some people thrive working remotely. So sometimes I think these questions are like, if we were to say, you know, are we sure working in an office works? It's just not a question that we would ask, because it's nuanced and there's no, you know, answer to it. It's not a yes or no answer. It depends on so many different things. And it's the same with remote work. If you're working in a brilliant remote company, Automattic, GitLab, Hotjar, you're going to be like earning loads of money on, you know, output based work. You're going to be thriving. You'll have stipends for co-working spaces and go to visit your colleagues. You know, but you'd be trained up in it. It'd be a completely different experience than working in a company who kind of feels forced into it and doesn't want to do it anyway.
Eugene's with us on the line as well, Tracy. I mean, do you have any issue with staff at Bank of Ireland and AIB being asked to come back into the office a few days a week?
I think it depends on what we think fair is and what the true motivation, for want of a better word, of the employer is. I was reading a study yesterday by a post on Nick Bloom, who's a rather famous Stanford professor, talking about flexible working, hybrid and remote working for years. And what he's noticed is that companies that are on a growth trajectory are typically enabling more working from home, enabling more hybrid working, whereas companies who are, let's say, trying to lower their headcount or keep it flat are starting to swing the way of return to office in a more maximalist fashion.
So you think it's to try and reduce the headcount?
I wouldn't be able to say that directly about AIB, but that has been the pattern so far, not only in Europe, but also in America, that typically a maximalist approach of, look, let's say you were working for an organization in Dublin, they allowed you to move down to Kerry, and all of a sudden now they're saying, look, 3 to 4 days, which effectively means you need to move back to Dublin. I think that's probably sending a signal.
Because the reality is, I suppose, that for some people who've maybe changed county or bought houses elsewhere in the country, that, you know, they're probably settled in those positions now, they've long commutes, they're probably not too enticed to come back to Dublin working life.
Probably not. And also, you know, when you look at the main beneficiaries of working from home, flexible working, which would be, frankly, it would be women. It'd be people who have children, you know, primary caring responsibilities, etc. It's practically impractical for them. And this kind of tactic has been seen pretty commonly as a way to mitigate headcount. And that's the way I'd see it. And it's fascinating in a way in that Dublin has one of the highest office vacancy rates in Europe. It's kind of touching around 19% at the moment, which is fascinating when you look at the housing supply in Dublin. So it's a very tough ask for somebody who has, you know, not even moved down the country, but let's say just moved down the country. It's very tough for them to be able to find housing now in Dublin. And a lot of employers are sitting in a lot of empty offices.
You see, and I would have thought a lot of them would have nearly got rid of offices at the moment, you know, the office space. I'm not talking about Bank of Ireland or AIB in particular, but I would have thought for a lot of the big companies that had, you know, now moved to smaller working spaces, that they probably don't want all the staff back in.
No, that's what the data is showing us for growing companies. Companies that are growing their headcount, they're realizing that there's a big trade-off now between, you know, where they even still have leases and the availability of talent. And it's a very tough ask right now to, you know, to, if you want to retain talent, it's almost oxymoronic to demand them to move to Dublin at the moment, I believe, with the cost of housing.
Yeah, and this idea of maybe, I know some of the organisations or institutions have talked about there being working hubs in other parts of the country that maybe staff might be able to use and facilitate. Is that a good idea?
I think it is. It follows a more kind of thoughtful activity-based working strategy. So, you know, activity-based working, you know, it sounds highfalutin, but it really is what it says on the tin. You know, if Andrea has been productive down in Kerry all along, and she's got some colleagues in Cork and some colleagues in Limerick, and, you know, either for camaraderie or maybe it's an important meeting that they meet up in Killarney or Mallow or, you know, wherever, that makes a lot more sense than relocating those three people permanently to one of the most expensive housing markets in Europe.
Listener here who says, I'm an AIB staff member. I have a 1 hour commute each way back into the city centre, over 2 hours as well to try and get into the city. No parking whatsoever. I'm not the only one who moved. I'm happy to move to the south side of Dublin if AIB wants to pay the cost of the housing difference. My life has changed since the pandemic. So has the world. And spending hours and hours exhausting myself to commute is totally pointless. Our workplace has changed. There's now smaller desks. There's a lack of space. There's absolutely no parking at all. And there's been absolutely no mention of that so far today in the programme. Marcus is with me in Galway. Marcus, is this an unrealistic or a fair request to ask employees at the two major banks to come back in a few days a week?
Yeah, how you doing, Andrea? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's only a couple of positions that really sort of make sense that would warrant sort of on-site employees. I mean, areas around privacy, security, data protection, I could understand if there was some rationale around needing control on those environments. But otherwise, no, I mean, like, as has been alluded to already, you know, this is a new world, a new environment, a new paradigm that we're working in. So, you know, businesses really tend to have to adapt to this type of a scenario. And there's so many benefits, not just to, like, you know, the employees, but society in general, decentralization, etc. So, I mean, in one way, I find it a little bit sort of hypocritical from the banks seeking to force all the staff members back into the office while they're currently veering away from in-person or face-to-face in the staffing of the actual banks for the customers.
Cashier. I mean, there's very few cashiers now, or certainly not what it used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly.
The customers are having to deal with online services, but the staff have to come back.
Exactly, which seems completely unbalanced. You know what I mean? There are so many other areas where, I mean, obviously we've seen how the banks have managed to really mismanage themselves before, and every bloody taxpayer in this country has had to bail them out. But, like, I mean, when you're looking at operating costs, and I manage and run a company that's based in the UK, I'm living in Ireland and I run the company from here. But, like, in terms of operating costs, like, we're fully remote. We've, you know, about 15 employees. And yeah, I mean, the operating costs are massively down when you're running a fully remote business. So, you know, yeah, it's another side to it.
It is. No, Mary's got in contact. She says, I'm a customer of AIB and remote working. It doesn't work for me at all. Customers have to do everything now themselves, and there never seems to be anybody in the bank to help. They're all at home, supposedly working, according to Mary. What about you, Tony? What's your take on this today?
Hello.
How are you?
How are you doing? Well, I'm a customer of both Bank of Ireland and AIB.
Right.
And I have to say, I run a small business, and me, like everybody else in Ireland, is so fed up of their lack of service in them banks. You go in, they don't want to talk to you. They're just short of putting a sign up, don't come in here. So now, I understand working from home is a great thing, and it has helped a lot of people's lives and how they live. But I don't even know, is working from home anything got to do with this? But the banks have forgotten about service. They've forgotten about their customers. And I don't know what they're trying to do. They're trying to drive us all to revolution or something like that, because the service in our banks is just terrible. And there's great people working there.
Mm.
But one thing that I don't understand, if I ring up the smallest business in Ireland, somebody will answer the phone. If I ring up a bank, any branch, 50, 60 employees, I get transferred to somebody somewhere, and invariably they can't help me anyway. And they transfer you back to the bank or transfer themselves to the bank. They've forgotten about service. They've forgotten about their customers.
So, yes. So it's the customer service element you feel isn't satisfactory, Tony?
It's actually terrible. And the banks are making money now. A certain amount of working from home is fine. And like that lady was on earlier, she's moved from the north side to the south side of Dublin. Definitely to a branch in the south side. I mean, be sensible about this. I think... the government here overstepped the mark, trying to legalise working from home before we really knew what it was. And I think a certain amount of working from the office is important. And customer service is very important. Mm. And the banks have definitely forgotten about that. They've forgotten about the people on the ground.
Another text. My son has modified his home. Dining room is an office with a larger desk as an office, with a large desk, screen, electrical points. It was costly. The banks wanted to retain this office 2 days a week, 3 days weekly. It reduces his living space at his home. No compensation. Families with kids have local people in caring for their children, and changes are quite stressful. Banks must provide creches and play schools at their own expense, plus travel allowances, as homes are now a long way from the headquarters. Look, I know people who've bought houses working in some of the financial institutions and moved out of Dublin during the pandemic and have bought houses in various different parts of the country. There's no question. I mean, this is a huge upheaval for people who have done that. Some people will say they did it at their own choice. But then we had from the Financial Services Union, John O'Connell with us a little earlier, making the point that people thought they'd a verbal agreement that they could do that. So I don't know what the upshot of this is going to be. That's why we want to talk to AIB and Bank of Ireland staff today. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. I have a statement here from AIB. They tell us that all employees benefit from in-person time with their own team and broader colleagues. It'll allow for greater collaboration. We recognise the benefits of structured hybrid working and we're committed to enabling it. The extent to which work can be completed in office or remotely varies depending on the needs of our customers and our business. We have a comprehensive hybrid working structure and we'll keep it under review. And then Bank of Ireland, they've sent me a statement to tell me that the hybrid working is hybrid, as it suggests. An intentional blend of working from the office and home. It's always been our approach to hybrid. Since moving to this model, we've flexible arrangements for people at home and office locations. These include central office buildings in Dublin 4, Cabinteely, Talla, Kilkenny. We've a network of hubs, 14 hubs across Louth, Cork, Kildare, Wexford, Limerick, Galway, Mullingar and the north, west and central Dublin locations. We've communicated extensively with our people that from September onwards, colleagues who are eligible for hybrid working will be expected to work in person 8 days per month or 2 days a week and making use of the nationwide network of locations. The commitment to hybrid working is unchanged and operating in this way ensures our approach is continued as well. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.